Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about alleged Bible contradictions. We believe that the Bible is inerrant. It is God-breathed. God himself wrote the Bible through the lips, hands, and personalities of men. And so anyway, today we're going to talk about three alleged Bible contradictions. We're talking about some alleged contradictions between chapter 1 of Genesis and Genesis chapter 2. These three contradictions go as follows. In Genesis chapter 1, you see that the fowl of the air, you know, the birds, in Genesis chapter 1, they're created from the water, but in Genesis chapter 2, they're created from the ground. So what's going on there? Another alleged contradiction would be in Genesis chapter 1, the plants are created before men. But in chapter 2, it appears like there's plant life created after mankind. A third contradiction is that Genesis chapter 1 has animals before man. But in Genesis chapter 2, it looks like, it appears, that animals came after mankind. So what's going on here? Again, we believe that God himself wrote the Bible through the lips, hands, and personalities of men. So how do we reconcile this? Is there a way to reconcile this, or is this a bona fide major contradiction? So yeah, today you get three contradictions for the price of one. What's going on here? Well, the most prevalent way to solve this is that Genesis chapter 1 is the whole account in chronological order of God's creation of the heavens and the earth, okay? Genesis chapter 2, the camera angle zooms in to day 6 and tells of day 6 and the events after man has been created and what went down on day 6. Quite fascinating. So we're looking at Adam's experiences in the garden. Okay? So when we're looking at, for example, the last contradiction that I brought up there, the placement of the creation of animals. In Genesis chapter 1, they're obviously created before mankind. Genesis chapter 2, it says it a little bit differently. And I'd like to read that really quick. This is Genesis 2, verse 19. In the King James Bible, it says it this way. It says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Okay, so there's two ways that people, Christians, have looked at this and solved this alleged contradiction. And again, when you're looking at these contradictions, the Bible has proven itself over and over and over with amazing, fulfilled, accurate prophecies, okay? So the Bible at this point deserves the benefit of the doubt. And these Bible contradictions, again, you have to show that there's no way to resolve the contradiction in order for it to be a bona fide goof in God's word, right? So there are two different ways that people have shown this to be resolvable. Okay, first of all, it's very possible that God formed all the animals before man on the earth. But then in chapter 2 of Genesis, we zoom in and we look at God creating each animal and bringing them before Adam so that he can name them. In other words, God created a second set of every animal to pass them in front of Adam so he can name them. That's one possible way to solve it, and I'm okay with that. I don't think it's it, but I'm okay with it. The other one, this may shock some of you, but the other one is in verse 19 here where it says, God formed every beast of the field. That Hebrew word there, formed, is vetsar. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that or not. And that's in the, it's a verb in its perfect form. But others, many scholars, have translated this vatsar in its pluperfect form, which would read this way. It would say instead of formed, it would say had formed. And there are times in the Bible where it's used that way. Okay? And so that would be another way to look at this. God actually was saying, past tense, you know, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to man to see what he would name them. Now, look, many of the other modern versions of the Bible actually do follow the had formed translation. And so, okay, I'm cool with that. Anyway, so you see that with the animals, it's resolvable in two different ways. You can either say that Genesis chapter 2 is a zoomed-in look of just day 6 of creation, and God created another set of animals and created them in front of Adam so he can name them. That's cool. Or you can look at that vatsar as being pluperfect tense of the verb and saying that instead of God formed all these animals, God had formed them, as in he already made them, and now he's calling them in front of Adam so Adam can name them. No problem. That's cool. What about the plants? Well, interestingly enough, when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, and you compare that to Genesis chapter 1, 11, where it talks about when God actually made the plants on day 3, I'm going to read both of these. You got to see these. There is a slight difference, and it's fascinating, actually, when you look at it closely. So Genesis chapter 1, 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, and upon the earth, and it was so. Now check out Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. It says something very fascinating. And every plant of the field, and again, this chapter 2, verse 5, seems to indicate that these plants were made after man, versus Genesis chapter 1, it's before man, okay? And it says, and every plant of the field before it was on the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, interestingly enough, the word that's used for the vegetation, you know, the plant life here in Genesis chapter 1 is different than the plant life in Genesis chapter 2. And some people claim that the difference being that in Genesis chapter 2, they're strictly talking about the plants that require human intervention. As in, you know, when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, it goes on to say that God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And so when you look at it in context, it seems to be suggesting that God created the plants that require human intervention, as in most likely your annuals, your not just your annuals, but more like your farming type agricultural crops, you know, the plants that you have to babysit a little bit to get them to grow. Is that what's going on here? Or again, are we looking at more of a close-up version of what's going on day 6 and God is populating the garden with plants? I still kind of favor that this is what's going on day 6. But anyway, there is that. And then when you look at the contradiction between the fowl of the air being created from the waters, Genesis chapter 1, versus the ground in Genesis chapter 2, yep, it really does look like the correct way to resolve this is Genesis chapter 2 is a close-up, a zooming in of what's going on day 6. God had created everything in the world. And then in day 6, you zoom in and you look at just Adam and what's going on in the garden and what God did on day 6, how everything went down. So there you have it, guys. There is no contradiction. And really, looking at Genesis chapter 2 as a zoomed-in version of what happened on day 6 is the way that many believers throughout the centuries have looked at Genesis chapter 2. I mean, it has been the traditional way of looking at Genesis chapter 2. It wasn't until recent times that higher criticism came around and unbelievers started looking for ways to nitpick the Bible and find contradictions, things that they could point at to erode the faith in an inerrant Bible. So that's it for today. Again, if you guys have any Bible contradictions you'd like me to discuss, please get a hold of me at youthapologeticstraining.com, leave a post, or catch me on Google Plus, Facebook, or Twitter. And I will be sure to do my best and try to get it in as one of the next Bible contradictions we talk about. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.